Hey, our next guest is brought to us by Balfour's Bakery, available at your local deli or supermarket. Balfour's, baking people happy since 1853. And he is, of course, the midfield and ruck coach down at the Adelaide Football Club. Matt Clark, how are you, Matt?
I'm going well. I didn't realise I was brought to you by Balfour's. Do we see any of that product in there, or what's going on?
What would you like, a frog cake? what's your specialty? What do you like?
I like a pie.
Okay.
I love a pie.
Okay. We'll organise that for you, mate. I think
Tippett took the
Balfour's mate. Hey, just on that quickly, we were just discussing, Wayne Carey said he should be traded. If he was on the table, would you take him back at Adelaide, Matt?
Please.
Just your personal opinion.
Kay Tippett?
Yep.
There's a little bit of baggage there, which would be, which would obviously take some getting over. But I think he's probably not, at times he probably doesn't, deliver as much as he promises, but I think he's still fairly handy in terms of his structure. And to be honest, while he was here, he was a pleasure to coach. He trained the house down and an absolutely professional. So I guess on that front, you'd probably have a look at him.
Mm. Okay, let's get serious for a little second here. Now, the weekend, in the end, it was a loss, which is not great, and I think everyone would admit that there was great competition from the players. So how do you reconcile that? You know, you don't want to have honourable losses, we've heard the coach say. How did the review go?
Yeah, I think you just sort of need to assess where we're at and recognise that we have to be able to perform under that pressure. And while we obviously effort and intensity was at the level, ultimately, we just probably just didn't execute under that that pressure for long enough and missed, you know, critical opportunities early in the game as well. So, we're fairly disappointed, to be honest, and we've lost. So, we need to respond and find a way to get a win this weekend.
Phil Walsh, after the game in his press conference, there's a lot of questions about Aaron Sandilands and some of the stoppage numbers. He had this to say. Matty, have a listen.
I have a view on Sandilands. I gave that view to Doc Clark during the week, particularly in the centre bounce. I'll watch it closely tonight to see whether he took it on board, but I've got great faith in both Matt Clark and Scott Camporelli. They've done an outstanding job with our stoppage setup this year.
We're all worried about you, mate. Did you take it on board?
He's a pretty good judge, Walsh. He actually usually knows on the spot already what's going on, so you'll have to grill him a bit harder in the press the next time. But, centre bounce, we were pretty comfortable. Yep. Obviously, they scored a couple of goals out of there, but overall, we were fairly content with it, and even around the ground. To be honest, you know, it sounds ridiculous when a bloke's had 69 hit-outs, but on reflection going over the tape, I was pretty comfortable with Sammy's performance. In hindsight, 2020 vision, perhaps we should have relieved him a little bit more. In the end, he's had around 110 contests across the night, and Sandilands closer to 90-odd. So that workload perhaps meant that there was probably two little patches where Sandy got a little bit dominant and was able to give him just probably too good access to the ball. But other than that, I thought Sammy actually competed really strongly, brought the ball into the areas that we were expecting. And then, the clearance differential was, I think we're minus two over the journey. So given the hit-out differential, that's probably a reasonable result.
Mm. And I guess the last quarter was the area where it clearly got on top with the hit-outs. Was there, looking back, was there anything else you could have tried? Could you have sent a third man up or done something a little bit differently?
Yeah, it was a discussion in the box around third up and the value of it. And I guess until that point in the game, Freo actually utilised third up a little bit as well. We just felt we wanted to keep our ground level cover as it had been. And that's obviously the, if you're going to put an extra one in the air, then you're losing one at ground level. And there is the reasonably strong possibility that even a third jumper won't necessarily get you the hit out against Sandy. So that was the call we made. As I said, probably on reflection, the only change I potentially would have looked at was maybe just trying to ensure that, given the workload, that Sammy was a bit fresher come the end of the game.
Eight set shots for goal in the first half, kicked two goals, six. If that's 6-2, it's a different story, and that's the best pressure you can have is on the scoreboard, Doc.
Yeah, that's it. And, you can analyse all the stats and whatnot, and that one becomes pretty apparent that if we execute under pressure, and there's all sorts of different pressures across the game, but that one in front of goal is a fairly significant pressure, then we probably get a different result, but we didn't.
How much work during the week is spent on goal kicking?
Yeah, significant amount. You get into this phase of the year and there's very limited time you can spend it at 100% intensity, preparing them for all facets of the game. And obviously then goal kicking is one of those elements that you have to factor in there. But it definitely definitely gets time. We try to replicate kicking under fatigue, but that the fatigue is one element, but the pressure of performance on game day is a different element again.
So you're a thinker. How do AFL clubs mimic that game day pressure for goal kicking? It'd be great if someone could come up with that, wouldn't
they? Yeah.
We've had this discussion, Matty, a few times.
Yeah, once or twice. Once or twice across the journey. But, look, I think the fatigue is really relevant. I think, so off, at the end of drills, you know, often we try and incorporate a set shot at the end of a drill when they are fatigued, because that's a little bit unique. You know, you can go out on an off day and set up your routine, but if your lungs aren't burning, then you're physically in a different space. So it can certainly replicate that element. But, you know, in terms of getting 45,000 and putting the weight of expectation on that kick, that's tougher. You can, you know, create, you know, mini games within games, you know, place something on the end of it, create a level of competition, but it's probably not going to have that same pressure, no.
Hey, Matt, would you be able to share the discussion around Brodie Martin and subbing him out? There was for his first game back, I thought he did really well. What was some of the stuff you discussed when deciding who was going to be replaced by Jared Lyon?
Yeah, ultimately, I agree in terms of his performance. I thought he was really strong first game in for a long period out of the AFL team. And ultimately, I guess that may have been the factor that sort of swayed it against him, because if there was a question mark, it was having not played at AFL intensity for a period of time, is he going to last the distance? Ultimately, it was, you know, a judgment call. There was probably one of half a dozen that we were sort of tossing up, but that was probably the deciding factor in the end.
What about some players coming back? Is Rory Sloane, Rick Henderson, Richie Douglas, where are all those guys at?
Yeah, so tomorrow's training becomes really important in terms of making a good assessment, and then also, you know, really strong consultation with the physical performance team to just ensure that any of those guys that are obviously in line to come back in have done a level of work that will allow them to, you know, perform at the level they want to be able to perform. So, and then I guess you've got to balance the number of new faces that you bring back in off limited preparation. So, yeah, it's you know, tomorrow's training will be a reflection on how they're tracking and, you know, their ball handling. A few of them have been able to do a lot of the physical work. So Sloaney's, you know, hasn't really missed a beat in terms of his physical load. So I would envisage that he won't be a real issue as long as he gets through training and is made available by the medical team. But a couple of the others are probably we'll have to make calls on those.
So you're ticking R. Sloane if he gets through. I'd say B. Smith would be the same. Brad Crouch, who watched him train last Wednesday, he'll more than likely maybe have to come through the SANFL. The interesting one for me is Richard Douglas.
Yeah, that's right. So and they're all the ones that you've mentioned are the ones in the mix, and they're all great players for our club. But I guess you've just got to be careful of falling into the trap of seeing the name and saying, well, we've got to put him in, as opposed to assessing, you know, where is he at in his preparation? Is he physically ready to perform? You know, we know they're going to be really good players for us throughout this season and beyond, but just for this week, you've got to make a really clear clinical call about what's going to be best for the team. And you've got to acknowledge the players in there. You don't tip them out unless they're, you know, they're not performing.
Yeah, and the good thing is with all of that injury list is diminishing. And then the other consideration, I guess, is you've got the bye next week and then Hawthorn on that Thursday. Hey, just before we let you go, Doc, and thanks again for your time. Everyone's talked this week about the romance and good for the game and how good it is. Phil Walsh was one about the Paddy v. Nat Fyfe. You're the MIDI coach. Who'd you give the votes to, Paddy or Nat?
Toss a coin. You know, Frio win the game, so Fyfe is the champ, isn't he? I guess that's the way it normally rolls. So, but having said that, both players are obviously outstanding, and they both contributed really strongly. Pretty clearly, the best couple of players on the ground. So, if we'd have won, I'm sure we'd have all said that it was a masterstroke and Dangerfield was the best. But Fyfe gets the nod.
What about? Can we just keep it rolling this week? Chris Judd, we're thinking for Danger.
Yeah. Well, look, there is some merit to it, but, you know, a week-by-week basis. And we'll wait and see if Judd plays. Obviously, Judd and Murphy out last week, but both are probable inclusions. So it's going to be an interesting challenge. They've in one of the areas they've done really well is stoppage. Their clearance numbers are right up there in number one centre clearance, actually. So we've got a strong challenge in that area, and I think even on the basis of one performance, their intent looked pretty sound last week. So you include Murphy and Judd and maybe a couple of others back in, and it's going to be a good challenge.
Hey, Matty, thanks so much for joining us, mate. Good luck this week.
No worries, guys. Talk to you soon.